The question is, should companies that get state subsidies be vetted more strenuously? This is the latest in the Investigative Post, ProPublica, and Columbia Graduate School of Journalism's five-day investigative report called State of Subsidies. We have Jim Heaney on the phone. He is the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. Jim, welcome back. Let's talk about what this particular part of the series discusses.
Well, it discusses to what degree the state and local IDAs, who between them hand out most of the $8.5 billion that gets doled out last year for, in the name of job development, how vigorously those companies are vetted before they're awarded the money. And our reporter, Sean Campbell, is actually a grad student at Columbia. Sean took a sampling of one sector, the food industry, manufacturing, distribution, and retail of food. So anywhere from like yogurt manufacturers to grocery stores. And what he found was over the past decade, more than 100 companies received more than $100 million in subsidies despite having federal regulatory fines levied against them in the three previous years before they received the subsidy.
You have a great chart that compares the legal fees, or rather the punitive damages that they have to pay versus how much money they got from state taxpayers.
Yeah, fines versus
fines,
subsidy.
Yeah.
And what Sean also found was that the state doesn't do, or nor do IDAs, anything approaching comprehensive vetting. For example, when you apply to ESD and Empire State Development for any kind of assistance, you have to fill out a form. Well, the form does not require anything resembling meaningful self-reporting when it comes to a history of regulatory fines. Now, there are other states, some states don't bother either, but other states do, including New Jersey, neighboring New Jersey. So Vendex in New York City, if you're doing business with the city of New York, you have to fill out a very long form, and it includes a history of violations and lawsuits and whatnot. So what we found was, a lot of companies that have accumulated a lot of federal fines are getting a lot of state subsidies. And somebody made the point in the story that, every big company is going to run across, it's going to run afoul of a regulator at some point or another. It's a matter of, if they're habitual repeat offenders, then you need to take that into account. And the problem is, from what we can gather, the state really doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to this at all. If you've paid your fines, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
No matter how many violations you've racked up?
Yeah. Yeah, and it just seems to me that given the amount of money being tossed around, and this was just one sector, okay? One sector, more than 100 companies, more than $100 million in subsidies. Multiply that times all the sectors and the total amount of money being handed out, and, you probably have a lot of money going to a lot of companies that run afoul of federal regulators, and we didn't even get in the state because at least the feds, OSHA and EPA and others, you can go online and there's a database that lists the violators and fines, etc. The state, and I know you'll find this a tremendous shock, Susan, the state is a lot less transparent on this stuff.
That seems to be a theme that running through the entire five-day series. Has anybody from the state, like Howard Zemsky, responded to your subsidy?
No, as we discussed the other day, we attempted, once they provided the data that they were required to provide under the FOI law, all our attempts to get ESD to speak under these issues have fallen on deaf ears. I've got a call in now to the governor's office to see if we can get the governor's office to speak to any of this stuff, but it's No comment, no comment, no comment.
All right, so this is budget time, as you know, and this does have a lot to do with the budget in that there are efforts right now, for example, some bills proposed by Comptroller DiNapoli that would speak to the transparency issues that your series illustrates. And activists are also pushing for changes in how bidding is done and things like that. What are you hearing from people who want to change the system?
Well, there's a big push on whether or not there's a constituency among the three men in the room, I guess, remains to be seen. But, you know, if you step back, I mean, our series this week talked about subsidies and job creation or lack thereof and really questions how efficient public resources are being used in the name of job creation. Beyond that, we've had the last year of scandal, actually the last several years of scandal with the Buffalo Billion, the Caraleros and Prococo indictments, et cetera, et cetera. And what folks like, Reinvent Albany and Citizens Budget Commission and Fiscal Policy Institute and et cetera, some of the folks we had on the other day, they are pushing to clean this up and make it more efficient. So it's anything from creating a database of deals so that there's ready public access to the details of all this deal so there can start to be some transparency and some ability of people to assess just how effective programs and individual deals are. The comptroller wants to get review of all large state contracts, and the number is anywhere from anything over a quarter million to a million. But, right now there are a lot of contracts done through these state nonprofit development corporations that are exempt from comptroller review. There's a push on for to ensure that there's competitive bidding for all state contracts. There's a push on, this is kind of falling by the wayside, but, there are a number of states where if you do business with state government, you can't contribute to politicians, which would speak to the whole pay and play thing. I think that's kind of more of a longer term strategy. But the point is, given the corruption, given the lack of job growth in upstate New York, now seems to be the time to enact some meaningful reforms. And the question that we'll learn over the next few days is whether the three men in the room have any appetite for reform or whether it's going to be business as usual.
Exactly right. This is a five-day series. It's called State of Subsidies, and it was done by a reporting trio, Investigative Post, ProPublica, and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. And you can read all of the parts online at investigativepost.org. We have been speaking with Jim Heaney, who is the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. Jim, thank you so much for doing this important series. We appreciate it.
Take care, Susan.
This program is presented by WCNY Syracuse. Join us again for the Capital Press Room.